So in the story, the Nazis are about to lift off the top of the Ark of the Covenant, and instead of being awed, they looked in great disappointment because all that was in, remember, this is just a movie, all that was in there was sand, and they put their hands in the sand, and the sand just kind of drips off their hands in total disappointment. But then things start to happen. Things get quiet, and then there is a noise, and then the skies grow dark, and then there's this really eerie sound taking place, and Harrison Ford knows something is up, and so he says to his heroine, don't, whatever you do, don't look. Close your eyes. No matter what you hear, do not open your eyes. And then it begins to happen. Out of the Ark of the Covenant come these spirits, and they're flying out amongst all of the people who were there, especially all the captors of all the Nazis. And then all of a sudden, the spirits that have somewhat of a pleasant face, their faces change, and they become balls of fire, and they just start slaying all the people that are there. And if you remember the movie, it was pretty graphic how some of them kind of melted away. But anyway, that's the way it was. And then the top covering the ark flew up into heaven, and then came flying down from heaven and landed on top of the ark again and sealed for all eternity. And then, quiet. And after a while, Harrison Ford said to his heroine, now you can open your eyes. We don't really know what happened in that movie after that. Just like to this day, we have no idea whatever happened to the Ark of the Covenant. There are suppositions, but we don't really know. It was carried in the tabernacle as Israel traveled through the wilderness for years. Then when the temples were built, it was inside the temple. But the temples were destroyed many times over the years, as you know. So we don't really, really know whatever happened to the Ark of the Covenant. But we do know that it was a power source that was off the charts. And later at our 11 o'clock service, we'll go into more detail. But one of the unique things that happened was, there's the story of David wants to return the Ark of the Covenant back to its home. And so he goes out and he finds where the Ark of the Covenant is in the Philistine camp, and he brings the Ark of the Covenant back. And you remember how he did it? He puts the Ark on the back of a cart, and the cart is being carried along by two oxen, and there are people walking along with it, and then all of a sudden the oxen stumble a little bit and the cart stumble a little bit. And this man by the name of Uzzah wants to protect the Ark of the Covenant. So he reaches up and he touches the ark just to hold the ark in place so it wouldn't fall. And immediately he is killed. And it just brings horror to everyone. And as a child, I often thought, well, that's not right. He was just trying to do something nice. And he gets zapped, just like that. Well, it affects David greatly. And David wonders, what in the world have we done to bring it back? And so there's a lot of anxiety that goes along with it. And before it gets to the point of joy, there is great sadness and great terror. So they don't bring it back all the way to Jerusalem. They leave it with the family. While the family has it, that family's being blessed multiple times. What I didn't say was that when the Philistines had it in their land, things didn't go so well for them. The poor Philistines, all of a sudden, here they are, a happy nation, and they have this Ark of the Covenant, and all of a sudden, all of its citizens start developing things like terrible hemorrhoids and boils and tumors. And then they have this horrible rat infestation. It's basically the Ark of the Covenant saying, I don't really want to be here. And he made it clear. And so they drop the ark off at this place, and it blesses this family. Because David is so concerned about, wow, what do we do? Do we bring the Ark of the Covenant back home? And there's a reason for it. So I just want to read this passage of Scripture with you this morning. We'll go into more detail at our other service. But in 1 Chronicles. I just wanted to read this because I thought it was so neat. If you want to follow 1 Chronicles 15, 11 through 15. 1 Chronicles 15, 11 through 15. Here's what David says. Then David summoned Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, and several others. And before that takes place, actually, David brings a whole bunch of people who are related as priests. Some almost 900 of them gather. And here's what happens. Verse 12. And David said to them, "You are the heads of the Levitical families. You and your fellow Levites are to consecrate yourselves," which is like ceremonial washing. It's like all kinds of baptisms throughout the day. "Consecrate yourselves and bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place I have prepared for it. It was because you, the Levites, did not bring it up the first time that the Lord our God broke out in anger against us," meaning that's why Uzzah died. The only people who could service and worship around the Ark of the Covenant and carry the Ark of the Covenant without ever touching the Ark of the Covenant, but only by the poles on their shoulders carrying it, would be the priests from the Kohathite Levitical tribe. They are the only ones. It is never to be put on an ark. It is never to be led by anyone other than the Levitical tribes. And when Israel marched across the wilderness, it was some 2,600 feet carried by the priests ahead of all of the Israelites behind them. And that distance had to be maintained. It was a living symbolism that God is leading them. And this is where we have gotten ourselves by disobedience, that God, who just wanted to love them and lead them, turns to this Ark of the Covenant, which is his presence, which now can no longer be touched. So there's great teaching in all of this. But he says in verse 13, "It was because you, the Levites, did not bring it up the first time that the Lord our God broke out in anger against us. We did not inquire of him about how to do it in the prescribed way. So the priests and Levites consecrated themselves in order to bring up the Ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, and the Levites carried the Ark of God with the poles on their shoulders as Moses had commanded in accordance with the word of the Lord." Well, my time is up, but what happens next is really a fascinating story. If you ever get the idea that sometimes Old Testament worship was dull and boring, you got to read further. Because when the Ark of the Covenant is returned to Israel, to Jerusalem specifically, there is such a worship service. David did not believe necessarily in quiet, high church worship. He rocked it. He had cymbals banging. He had trumpets blowing. He had this band playing and the choir singing. There was this great, great procession coming in. Not only that, David was dancing. And he himself dressed as a priest, even though he wasn't a priest, dressed as a priest. And then he started taking off his clothes and just offering himself to God and worshiping before God in a profound way, so much so that his wife, Michal, who was Saul's daughter and David's wife, looked at him and said, "You're a fool. You're just a fool," and really detested him from that day forward. But it was from that moment on that the ark was brought back home in this powerful worship. And if we had time, we would read what David wrote after this. He wrote worship songs that were profound, so that many centuries later, after the temple had been destroyed, and people like Ezra and Nehemiah and others were trying to get Israel to come back to Jerusalem and institute worship again, it was all worship that was built on the prescribed worship of David. Just as David said, we didn't do what we were supposed to do because it was well prescribed by God. Centuries later, that worship of David carried on because it was prescribed. So it's a precise, holy, sacred, terrifying story about the holy presence of God. And yet, and I'll spend some more time at our second service on this. So what about us today? Is there a distance between us and God? Who bridges that gap? And what is the Ark of the Covenant in our life today? But it really is a very cool story.